So we're in Luke chapter 5. I'm reading from the New King James, beginning at verse 12, down to verse 16. Luke 5. It says, While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. But go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even further, and the large crowds were gathering to hear him, to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. A small little section of scripture, but I think it's very, very powerful. We're reading about the Lord because we want to get a glimpse of his heart as who he is, because once we see him for who he is, we become transformed into his image, because we're never changed by looking at ourselves, and we're never changed by trying to change ourselves, but we're only changed and always changed as we look into the reflection of someone or something else. The one that you look at is the one that you become like, and the proof of which is the friends that you hang out with. You know that when you hang out with certain people who use certain phrases or certain words, then you begin to say those phrases, because by simply you hanging around them, and the longer that you are around certain people, you will simply pick up what they have. And here we are looking at the Lord Jesus. Last time, in the beginning of this, a few weeks back, we looked at the beginning of Luke 5, we looked at his call for the disciples. We looked at the how, the why, and the what. The how, the why, and the what. That was 2-3 weeks back. This morning I'd like to share with you a few things as this passage is speaking about Jesus' healing virtue and restoration over this man. I'd like to speak to you about the cry, the compassion, the command, and the consistency. I know it sounds like it's a lot, but we're not going to be that long. I can't promise you, but the cry, the compassion, the command, and the consistency. Let's begin with the cry. This leprous man who's covered from top to bottom is crying out to Jesus as he sees him, and he falls on his face and he's imploring him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Leprosy. Did you know that when the children of Israel left Egypt, there wasn't one leprous person among them? They were in the wilderness for 40 years. They entered into the promised land. There wasn't not one leprous person among them. As a matter of fact, they were all perfectly healthy. God says, I will bring none of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians on you. You will be in absolute health as you enter into the land. There wasn't one person, and this is not a leprosy that you just, this is not a thing that you can just get like a fever. This is contracted. This means you are in contact with someone else who has this disease, and the other nations around them had leprosy. But Israel didn't have anything whatsoever. What happened? What happened to a nation that didn't have this disease at all? Well, they began mixing with the multitudes. They began mixing in with the other nations. And in mixing with them and catching their idolatry, they contracted these diseases as well. Just as the case with us. Listen, man was originally free from any sin, but by way of wrong choices, sin entered into our lives, just like this leper. And the disease is contracted. In the Bible, leprosy is a dreaded disease, and it's a picture of sin. Leprosy is a picture of sin in the scripture, and it's very contagious, and there is no cure. There is no cure. Let me explain to you a little bit about the graphic detail of this disease, because it's going to help us understand why it's so important here as Luke describes it for us. He says that what happens is that the nerves, when you contract this disease, the nerves are infected at the trunks, meaning at the root of the individual. The muscles, they begin to waste away. The tendons contract until the hands are like claws, and then ulceration happens on the hands and the feet, and then a progressive loss of fingers and toes until the end or the whole hand and foot may drop off the person's body. And the duration of a disease like this can take somewhere between 20 and 30 years before a person finally expires, and it's a terrible progressive disease where someone dies slowly. Horrific. Josephus, the historian, tells us that lepers were treated as if they were, and in fact, dead men. They were treated like dead men. And the priest at the time, the rabbis at the time, said it's easier for a person to come back from the dead than for a leper to be cleansed. This was no easy thing. And the Mosaic law prescribed that the family of the person and society would have to be cut off completely from the individual who had this particular disease. And he had to cover himself, and he had to wear torn clothing, and he had to walk around saying unclean, unclean wherever he went, so that no one else can contract this disease. Imagine in this society where everything is filled with shame, and you are covered with this disease, and depending on how far along you are with this disease, and people can tell, because they can even smell you as you are approaching them, and you are crying out, unclean, unclean, keep your distance away from me. This man, Luke tells us in verse 12, he says, this man was full of leprosy. That means he was at the final stages of leprosy. We don't know if he still had all of his limbs. We don't know if his nose was still on his face. We don't know what he's looking like, but he is at the advanced stages. And it's a picture of the devastation and the nature of sin upon people. Listen, sin causes a breakdown in relationships. It causes a breakdown in relationships. First of all, between us and God, obviously, and then between us and other people. It causes a separation between us and God, not because God is the one that's walking away, but because we're walking away. We're walking away from Him. And also, the Bible tells us in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, it says, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil. You cannot behold evil. In other words, evil cannot dwell in your presence. So there's a separation between us and the Lord. And this is a problem, because God is the source of life. The Bible says, in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. We can't live without Him, but it also affects our relationship with other people. He had to live separately from his family. He could never feel the warm, caring touch of his spouse. Again, he could not hold his children or grandchildren or feel their arms around his neck ever again. He couldn't share a family with his meal or be present to enjoy a moment of laughter with them ever again. And in the same way, sin causes and often a complete rupture in our human relationships. There's a complete separation that happens there. But listen, those who are plagued by sin today are in many ways numb to the effects of sin. Like this man became numb, because what it does is it eats away at the very nerves on the inside, so that I no longer feel the pain. Even in modern recent times, a recent doctor was studying this disease, and he was near a person who was leprous, and this person who was leprous picked up a key to open up a door that the doctor himself couldn't open. And he went in and he opened it, and the doctor was like, you're a little boy, how did you do this? But then the doctor looked down and he saw drops of blood on the floor, not realizing that the boy had turned the key to the point so hard that he actually cut through into the bone of his hand, not even realizing what he had done, because the nerves were dead on the inside. I sin and I don't feel it. I hurt myself and I don't feel it. This is the effect of sin on people's lives, but it also causes emotional pain. What do you mean? The internal pain of being isolated is horrible. The hope of every leper was that the disease itself would eventually burn out and go. And so he would have to look at himself every day to see if the sores that he had on his body would eventually shrivel up and die, that they would shrink up and die. And he himself had to examine himself and look at himself continually. So the dying man is forced to look at his own dying condition. He had no one else to look to, so he was always looking to and at himself. And so he carried this sense of worthlessness and despair. And you know the toughest thing for a person who's going through something difficult? To continue to stare at that difficulty. When I am in despair, Dahlia was talking a moment ago about being in the ocean and learning how to swim, and if you can't swim, you will sink. The hardest thing to do is to actually sink, and you're looking to yourself for help. You're the one that's sinking. What are you looking to? You need to look outside of yourself. But here, he's forced to look at himself. And then so sin grows progressively worse, ending in spiritual death, and we know that a person doesn't find any restoration, find any hope, find any healing for this disease, they're going to end up dead, but a slow, painful death. And spiritually speaking, if a person doesn't find any hope for the disease that they have in sin on the inside, they will end up in what the Bible calls a place known as the lake of fire. Thank you. So this leper here was desperate to approach Jesus, and falling on his knees, he's saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He broke the protocol. He disregarded the jeers of the crowd, and he risked his own life, knowing that he can be flogged or stoned to death if the answer didn't come, but he risked his life. He didn't care. He needed a Savior, and that was more important than anything else, because he figured in his mind, listen, I am dying and I am dead. I need to applaud this man. And I need to applaud every sinner that comes to their senses and realizes I am in trouble. Because I'm no longer able to even feel the pain, but there's still a gnawing that's happening in my soul. I may no longer be able to feel the pain physically, but there's something that is wrong, gnawing in my soul. The alarm is going off continually inside of me, telling me something is wrong. Something is desperately wrong. And I have to take my hat off to him, because he knew the one source that he can come to. He knew the source wasn't in himself. He knew the source wasn't in his family. He knew the source wasn't in the priests or the Levites. He knew the source wasn't in religion. He knew where the source was. And when he saw Jesus coming, he ran and bowed down before him. He humbled himself and he says, Lord, if you are willing. He didn't even come with the audacity to say, Lord, you need to heal me in Jesus' name. He didn't say that. He just said, Lord, if you are willing, I am desperate. And I don't know if you want to heal me, if you even desire to heal me. But all I know is if you are willing, you can make me clean. Are you willing to make me clean? I love the tenderness of Jesus, who takes us at our level. Sometimes we think that we have to reach a certain level spiritually for God to deal with us. We don't have to reach any level spiritually. We are where we are. And just like any loving parent loves their child at any stage that they are at. And he's saying, I'm willing to deal with you no matter where you are at. If you are here, if you are here, if you are here, if your IQ is up here or your IQ is way down, doesn't matter where you're at. I love you and I want to deal with you, and I will deal with you at your level. Allow me to deal with you. Allow me to penetrate your heart. But I need you. I need your permission to do so, because I'm a respecter of your person, and I'm a respecter of the freedom that I extended to you when I first breathed the breath of life into you. Are you with me, church? I respect you too much to invade the privacy that you have around you, despite the fact that you are dying on the inside, despite the thing that things are falling off of you on the outside, despite the things that relationships are not working around, there is something wrong. But I need you to come to me. I come to you, but this is as far as I can come. I'll send you a preacher, but that's as far as I can come. I'll send you a TV message or a radio station message, but that's as far. I'll even show up in a dream. But that's as far as I can come. I need you to humble yourself and fall down before the Lord and say, are you willing? Are you willing to make me clean? Are you willing? Are you desiring to make me clean? Are you as good as they say you are? Are you as kind as they say you are? Are you as caring as they say you are? Which brings us to our next point, which is the compassion. The compassion. The compassion. Because Jesus could have just as easily said to him, like he told the other 10 lepers who came and said, go your way, be healed. He could have done that. And he's in the late stages. You can see him, you can hear him, you can smell him. One doctor said, if you're around the leper long enough, you can even begin to taste something in your mouth. It is a disgusting, disgusting thing to be around. Jesus, just speak a word and let the man go. And I can picture his disciples standing around Jesus saying, what are you going to do with this one, Lord? Get him out of here. This one's kind of gross. I mean, feeding the 5,000, that's kind of cool. Walking on water, that's pretty awesome. Get this leper out of here. This is a bit too much. It's easier to touch a dead man than it is to touch this leper. And the Bible says that Jesus has compassion on him and doesn't just say, be healed. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. Why are you doing that, Lord? Because there is a cry that he doesn't even know to cry that I am answering in his heart right now, because he has come to me. And that compassion does a couple things. Number one, He touches the man to new life, which is resurrection life. He brings him back from the dead. He doesn't have to touch him, but he knows his deepest need. He knows his deepest need. And because the leper came to him, he was cleansed. Listen, we are all welcome as lepers. And that is all we are, by the way. We are all welcome as lepers at the feet of Jesus. And listen, the second thing he does is he restores him. He restores to him all that was taken away when he acquired the leprosy. His relationships are restored, his self-dignity and respect is restored. And he allows the man to see himself through the eyes of God. Because Jesus always goes above and beyond what we expect. Just ask Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus just simply wanted to look at Jesus. Jesus walks by and goes, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. He always goes above and beyond. Ask Mary and Martha. Lord, had you been here? It's too late now, but had you been here? He's saying, only believe. Only believe. Just wait and see. God always goes above and beyond what we ask or think. And here, the touch of Jesus was an outward and visible sign of an inward visible compassion of the heart of the Lord towards those that are hurting. And so this leper shows us not only hope for us, but we are all lepers. We can all have this same hope in the Lord. The Bible says, the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Anyone who comes to me. And sometimes in my younger early days of my spiritual life, not being mentored very, very well or discipled well, I had to learn these things the hard way. I thought God has certain people that he listens to, certain people that he prefers, certain people. But then through study and through trial and error and experience, you learn, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible's teaching. The Bible says, I will not cast out anyone who comes to me. Anyone who comes to me, I welcome them into my presence. And so the cleansing here that Jesus offers is not just simply cosmetic. It's not something from the outside, but it cleansed the defiled conscience of the inner man of this person. So just as this leper was instantly and totally healed, so the sinner who trusts Christ can be also instantly and totally healed, completely reconciled to God, completely reconciled to the Creator. And just as Jesus touched this leper, he wants to touch us as well. I believe he wants to give us that very same touch. Because there's certain parts of leprosy in our lives. And those that say, no, not me, I'm a good person. Even more so, this is for you. We think that Jesus would be repelled by the gross sight of the smell. But no, listen, Jesus can handle it. Other people may say, okay, Lord, I want you to touch me. But I don't really want you to change me. You can touch me. Oh, heal the outside, yeah. Don't worry about the inside. Just take care of my problems. You know what? How about you pay a couple of bills? Give me a couple of promotions. Make those relationships work a little bit better. Find me a nicer home where the heater actually works. Because it's cold. It was 35 last night. Fix a few things, but don't worry about the inside. Just fix everything out here, but don't worry about. And it doesn't work that way. He works on everything, and whatever he changes, he touches, and he touches completely. Jesus can handle it. So this is the compassion of our Lord. He didn't have to touch him, but he chose to touch him. Because it's been so long since he's been touched. So long since he's been touched. I read a story about a man who would simply go to the barber once a week just so somebody can touch him in a non-weird kind of way. Human touch is so important. So important. You know, the first thing you want to do when you have your baby is you're cuddling them all day long, yes? Even if you get a puppy, you're cuddling them all day long. It's part of our human nature. We want to be close. We want to be close. And he's longing for that touch. And some of us haven't been touched in our spirits and our hearts by God for such a long time, and we're craving it. I'm saying to you today, all we need to do is simply cry out to him. If we are hungry, he will meet with us at the point of our need. Which brings us to our third point, the command. The command of our Lord. Why? Why command him, go show yourself to the priest? Why? Because I want you to get everything that you lost. I want you to get it back. I want you to get your family back, your property back, your inheritance, your land, your place in society, your place at the temple or synagogue, and your right to celebrate and all the feasts. I want you to get all that back. And you don't have your place. You don't get any of that back until you actually go show yourself to the priests. Because they only have the right to restore all that stuff to you in a legal sense. I want you to go show yourself to the priest, and they will restore all that stuff to you and restore your place in society. I want to lift up your head once again. What your grandfather left you, what your father left you, comes back to you. Your kids and grandkids come back to you. Your wife comes back to you. Your house comes back to you. Your land and your farm, it comes back to you. All of it comes back to you. Listen, God wants to restore to you the things that have been taken away because sin has repossessed you of your rights, of your basic rights as a child of God. And God is saying, listen, I am now ready not just to restore you physically and not just restore the relationships, but everything that is about you. I want to bring it back to you, and I want to bring it back to you in full abundance, but we need to do it the proper way. Go show yourself to the priests. Why? I want you to go make an offering of cleansing. An offering of what? An offering of cleansing. An offering of cleansing. Leviticus 14 talks to us about the offering of cleansing. Leviticus 14. You know the chapter that you read this morning? Leviticus 14. Yeah. Leviticus 14 talks to us about the offering of cleansing, where you go to the priest, and to be cleansed by leprosy, what they would have to do is they would have to grab two birds. And the first bird they would kill, and they would kill that bird over running water in an earthen vessel. A pot, an earthen vessel. Over running water, they would kill that bird. Then they would take the other bird who was living and dip the living bird into the blood and the water of the dead bird, and then allow it to fly into the wilderness free. And then the priest would pronounce you as clean. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. He's saying that's how we're cleansed. How are you cleansed? By the offering of sacrifices of animals and goats and lambs and sheep. All of those are pictures of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. That's the only way that we are able to be restored. You are now clean. You are now clean. But it's not just for you. Listen, this miracle is a testimony to the priest for all who are willing to see. The miracle is not just for you. What are you saying? I'm saying that when God does something in your life, He's not just doing it just for you, but He's doing it for you, to do it through you, to touch other lives. Just like the Samaritan woman who said, "Come and see a man who told me all things that I have done. Come and see. He has done something spectacular for me in my life. I want you to come and see this man." And when God does something in your life, He wants to do it so that He can bless so many other people through the process. So no matter how hard it may seem right now, no matter how challenging the difficulty is right now, God is saying, "I want to do something great. I want to bring beauty out of the ashes that you are experiencing right now." Whatever it is, whatever the challenge is, a physical challenge, a relational challenge, a financial challenge, whatever that challenge is, I want to bring something beautiful out. And it's going to minister to so many other lives. Go show yourself to the priests as a testimony and sacrifice there. But this sacrifice now means it's going to cost me something. Any sacrifice that doesn't cost you anything is not worth anything. David said, "I will not offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing." When I offer something to God, it has to cost me something. It cost me my freedom. But then again, as we discussed some time ago, I don't really have freedom until I become a bond slave of Jesus Christ. So even in the cost, I find more freedom. You can't lose with Jesus. You really can't. It's impossible. He's just good like that. Which brings us to our fourth and final point, the consistency of the Lord. The consistency of our Lord. It says that He often withdrew and prayed. He often withdrew and prayed. Prayer didn't just happen. It didn't just happen if time was left over for God. No. The Son of God is showing us that the secret to living victoriously in God's perfect will is to spend time with the Father. The secret to victorious living and providing the will of God is to spend time with the Father. John Bunyan, the famous author, said this. He says, "He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find Him the rest of the day." He who runs from God in the morning will hardly, scarcely find him the rest of the day. He went to go spend time with the Father. Jesus, they're kind of pulling on you. As a matter of fact, when this sick man gets healed, others are coming for you to heal them as well. And the demands are many. And the disciples are still arguing about who's the greatest. And there's problems over here with the Pharisees. And there's more sick people and more hungry people. And the demands are way, way too much. He says, I need to go. I need to go and spend time. Where? I need to go spend time with the Father. Why? That's where the secret lies. If I think the secret lies in and of myself because of myself, the secret lies with the Father. In my communion with the Father, it lies all with Him. But it's more than just receiving from God, because a lot of times we think we come to church to receive something from God. And this is such an immature view of our walk with God. If I'm doing this Christian thing to receive something, I'm receiving forgiveness, I'm receiving grace, I'm receiving provision, I'm receiving protection, I'm receiving healing, yes? I'm receiving. If this is my view of God, it is very shallow and very incomplete, and it's going to be very frustrating. Because he's saying, I'm not just going to receive from the Father, but I'm going to fellowship with the Father, because prayer is more about fellowship. It's more about a mutual exchange with the Father. It's how a friend longs to be with a friend. Have you ever seen two really, really good friends? They're just always, always talking, either on the phone or they're hanging out together. Why? They just love being around each other. If Jesus needed to often pray, how much more do we often need to pray? But I only communicate with, and I use prayer and communication as the same thing, I only communicate often with those that I desire. And I make time for those that I desire. And I avoid those that I desire to avoid. Yeah? When there is someone that I want to spend time with, I will move whatever I need to move to make it happen. And if there's someone that I don't want to spend time with, I will place everything I need to place so that I don't spend time with this person. So my spending time with God, I'm not saying this for condemnation's sake, okay? I'm just making a clear point so that we can know where our hearts are. I need to find that time to spend time with Him. And if I'm not spending time with Him, it's an indication that I don't know Him. Because to know Him is to love Him, is to speak to Him, is to allow Him to speak back to me. If I am not speaking to Him regularly, it's because I don't know Him. I'm simply looking for things from Him. And if I'm looking for things from Him, then when those things run out, my relationship with Him becomes very, very frustrating, like, you don't love me anymore. You're not answering prayers like you used to answer prayers. You're not helping me the way that you used to help me. What's wrong? What did I do? Why am I being punished? And it becomes that kind of a relationship, and that's not a healthy relationship. Imagine if a child comes to a parent and all they do is ask. And you're looking at me like, that's normal. No, it's not normal. It's not normal. If my kids are only asking from me, this is not healthy. If they don't want to spend time, if they don't want to change ideas, if they don't want to share, then something is desperately wrong, and we need to have that kind of heart. And if we don't have it, then it's an indication that something else has taken the place. Which goes back to the point that we are all lepers. Every single one of us is that leper. And if we think we're not, we're in real trouble. May God give us the grace to recognize it, first of all. To realize how sinful we are. And somebody might say, well, you know what, I'm really not that bad. I haven't really killed anyone. I haven't really stolen anything from anyone. I pay my taxes, mostly. I pay my bills on time. I'm good to my neighbors. I'm not that bad. The Bible makes a list in Romans chapter 1 of all certain kinds of evil things. Pretty long, good-sized list.
And then it says, those who participate in these things have no part in the kingdom of God. But not just those that do them, but those that approve of those that do them. So I may not be participating in these things, but I have no issues approving and watching people who do these things. Huh? Yeah, I may not do what the Kardashians do, but I have no issues watching. I may not do what they do in the movies, but I have no issues watching them. I may not do what they say in the songs, but I have no issues listening to it. And it doesn't move me one bit. It's an indication that there is leprosy, and I don't even feel it anymore. The problem is, my friend, is that like the boy who turned the key and it cut to the bone, he's bleeding, and he's bleeding to death, and he doesn't even know it. May God wake our consciences by the Holy Spirit and help us to realize how sinful we really are. The bad news and the good news, all of us are sinners. There's not one person that's righteous. Not one. But because of the blood, because of the bird that was dipped into the dead bird, the living bird dipped into the dead bird's blood and flew, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, we can now have peace with God. And have everything restored once again. May God give us that heart. Especially as we enter into the new year. To say, God, I am a sinner that is in need of grace. Would you, if you're willing, and now I know that you're willing, do what only you can do, and that is cleanse me. Because more important than the healing, physically, is the cleansing spiritually. Pray this with me, church. More important than the healing physically, and healing physically is pretty important, but even more important than that is the cleansing spiritually. Because even if I am not participating in certain activities, I am not committing adultery, I'm not committing fornication, I'm not stealing, I'm not lying, I'm not doing these things, but I'm cheering people on that do. I'm actually kind of a fan of people that do. I am in so much trouble. I am in so much danger, and I'm not aware of it. Limbs have fallen off of my spiritual body, and I'm not even aware of it. I am bleeding, and I don't even know it. And that's how many lepers would die. Many lepers would take a walk. If they weren't wearing any shoes, can cut themselves on a piece of glass in the street, and they would bleed to death and not even know it. Not even realize that there's any pain there because there was no pain there. The numbness. They couldn't feel anything. May God awaken our consciousness. May God bring us back to an awareness and to realize that He is a holy God. That we will stand one day before a holy God to give an account for everything that we have said, everything that we have thought, everything that we have participated in, and everything that we have cheered on others who have participated, because we have approved of their lifestyle. We've become fans of their lifestyle. May God have mercy on us and help us to truly, truly humble ourselves before a holy God and say, I am a leper. I need your cleansing. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me. And one drop of that blood is sufficient to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. But I need to humble myself before Him and say, God, help me. God, help me. And God says, I respect your privacy. I respect your privacy. I gave you free will. If that's where you want to be, that's where you want to stay, that's fine. But if, like the prodigal son, you say, it is better back in my father's house, for even the servants there have enough food to eat, and you return back to Him, He welcomes you with open arms. He welcomes all of us with open arms. Because as we heard, He said, I will in no wise cast anyone out that comes to me. I won't cast anyone away. I won't reject anyone. My arms are open. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you true rest.
I'll give you the peace that passes understanding in the middle of your storm. And I won't just cause you to be able to go in deeper so that the crashes, so that the crashing waves don't keep bothering you. But I can do more than that. I can cause you to walk on those waves. The waves that are causing everyone else to drown and bringing fear because the storms are too high. I can cause you to walk on top of the water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is able to suspend heaven and earth for you. But to a hungry soul. He comes to a hungry soul. He comes to a thirsty soul. Father, would you remove our hearts of stone today and replace them with hearts of flesh? Would you bring back feeling into our spirits once again? Would you cause us to know? Would you cause us to know where we are and what we need? We need you. We need you. Church, if you lift up your voice to Him today, if you lift up your voice to Him today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Lift up your voice to Him today. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Come close to me and I will be close to you. He's closer to you than your next breath. He is right here. He is here. Don't wait for a feeling, church. Don't wait for a feeling. Don't wait for an emotion. Our God is not about emotions and feelings. It's about faith. It's about realizing something. And may He open the eyes of our understanding today to realize where we are. May you reach out to Him by faith today and cry out to Him and say, Father, I need you. I need you with every fiber of my being. I need you. I need you because I've been bleeding on the inside and I wasn't even aware. I've been living in sin and I wasn't even aware. I've been cheering those on who are living in sin, not realizing that that is sin and not even being aware. Help me. Wake me up on the inside. Wake me up on the inside. Align our hearts to be right with you, Lord God. Align our hearts to be right with you. Give us to enter into this new year, this new season, Lord God, with hearts that are right with you. For that we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name.